The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine and BlackEnterprise.com. The first article is titled, Black to the Future, the Music, Feminism, Fashion, and Politics of the 1970s are inspiring a new cultural shift. Shirley Chisholm made history in 1968 when she became the first Black woman nominated to Congress. 4 years later, she made an even more daring political move when she ran for president. Though she lost the Democratic nomination to George McGovern, her campaign ushered in an unprecedented number of Black women in political office. I think having had the courage and the political will to be fiercely independent, as she said, unbossed and unbought, candidate paved the way for Black women running for anything after that, says Crystal Hudson, a council member for New York City's 35th City Council District. When I asked Hudson about the political parallels between the 1970s and 2022, she comments, I think about the environment that folks were in then and the environment that we are in now. You were coming out of the civil rights movement then. You were coming out of protest against the Vietnam War. Now we're coming out of a global pandemic, Black Lives Matter protest after George Floyd's murder, the fall of Roe versus Wade. It feels like similar times. It also speaks to those moments when there is so much going on that creates opportunities for people like us to be in elected office. January 2023 would have marked 50 years of Roe versus Wade, the landmark 1973 court ruling legalizing abortions. This past June, the current majority conservative Supreme Court overturned the decision, unnerving citizens nationwide. The consequences have been swift and unrelenting. Children impregnated by pedophiles have become the center of polarizing political conversations rather than being seen exclusively as the victims of a sickening crime. In all of our glorious dancing and dressing and marching and running for political office, the societal needle has moved little in 50 years. Has it been here all along, this falsified progress? I believe we felt just enough to change, to keep pushing, but enough unrest to wail. Each decade, we hope against hope that we are wiser than the people before us. We study their pitfalls, their fears, and their desires. With the world at our fingertips, we puff out our chest, confident we can do better. But the systems that fettered our ancestors chain us too. Maybe a renaissance, a fist in the air, do-over, is exactly what we need. The next article is titled, Worth the Trip. After a rare condition almost took her life, a voyage to Costa Rica sent music exec Aisha White on a healing journey. In early 2021, Aisha White, senior VP of Media and Strategic Development at Warner Records, took a vacation to Costa Rica. She was searching for peace for her mind, body, and soul. She believed that the stress brought on by her hectic work schedule in Los Angeles, the policies of Donald Trump, and the various racial tensions they created were factors that could have contributed to her suffering a life-threatening brain hemorrhage in 2020. The killing of George Floyd made things harder. In its wake, White and many other music industry heavyweights drove efforts to ensure equality and equity for Black artists in music. For White, devising initiatives while processing the trauma of the killing was an extremely heavy task, especially when paired with the effort to help her preteen daughter understand what was happening in the world. Still, White kept pushing. "I was trying to be everything for everyone," she remembers. "I wasn't taking the time to see what I needed to give myself grace, love, and care." While on a retreat in Sedona, Arizona, in December 2019, White came down with an awful migraine after a hike. Since migraines were rare for her, she figured the altitude had caused the pain. A few hours after taking a leave, she felt fine. But the next day, the migraine kicked up again, and the pain was 10 times worse. "It was like the point where it was blinding me," recalls White. "I couldn't see. My whole body was shaking, and I was sweating. My head felt like it was going to explode." The pain lasted for hours. "I was screaming," she recalls. "I had stripped out of my clothes, and I was like, 'God, if you're going to take me now, because I can't take it.'" Away at a remote location, White didn't have access to immediate medical attention. But with the help of her cousins, who put wet towels over her eyes to try to calm her symptoms, she felt the throbbing pain in her head start to ease up a few hours later. Upon returning home to LA, White underwent craniosacral therapy to help relieve compression of the bones in the head. The bodywork offered some relief, but not long after the CST session, her pain started to flare up again, and she went to the ER. They did an MRI and kept me there because they saw a bleed, she says. A week later, she was told she was lucky to be alive after suffering from a rare condition called reversible cerebral vasoconstriction syndrome, caused by the sudden constriction of the vessels that supply the brain with blood. She was connected to a specialist at UCLA who suggested she take blood thinners, but she was told there was no way to ensure this type of bleeding wouldn't happen again, and that there is no known cause of RCVS. "For me, that wasn't enough," says the 41-year-old. "The only thing I thought of when I was in that hospital bed was my daughter and not being able to be there for her. I want to see her get married, have kids, get old. So I started to do a deep dive into self-healing and neuro-research." White became moved by the Heal Your Body with Your Mind ideology of Joe Dispenza, who has a Doctor of Chiropractic degree. He talked about environmental risk and factors at play into this, and being able to get in a place of meditation that is healing and renewing to your body and brain, she says. Launching into a self-care plan, she put more focus on her meditation practice. Then something came to her. She remembered a 3-week-long trip to Costa Rica with her daughter the previous year. She recalled how free she had felt there, how she'd been warmly embraced by the people, and how she was pulled in the harmonious beach and jungle, feeling an intense connection to nature. "My spirit was like, 'You need to go back to where you were and how you felt there,'" she says. "That's what you need to feel right now." White returned to Costa Rica in January 2021 and stayed for 6 weeks. "Going back took away outside distractions, and I was able to home in on what I needed to do for myself, which was pursuing a combination of physical, mental, and emotional wellness. An initial step was reevaluating her diet. She visited Juice for Life, a Puerto Viejo smoothie and juice bar, where she was guided through a cleanse by herbalist Joseph Hodgson, whose motto is, "Let food be your medicine." Hodgson custom-made juices for whites using local goods like spinach, bitterroot, and sea moss. "He cleaned my blood and body with his food and positive energy," says White, who adds that his spirit was emblematic of the wider Puerto Viejo community. "The people from there treat you like family," she says. "They're so warm, giving, and loving. My family's from Jamaica, and the Caribbean culture is very prevalent there. It felt familiar. They took me in." While in Costa Rica, White conquered her fear of the ocean, learning to swim and surf. With the help of local professional surfer and Surf the Jungle owner, Masali Brown, "The water and waves, there's such a connection with nature and a healing energy," she says. "There was something I was missing in my life." She also tackled another fear, getting close to snakes. "I literally almost sat on one," she recalls, "and had to just face it right then. But I had a spiritual moment where I felt a connection to this being, and it changed my perspective and released my fear." Remote working near the beach or in co-working spaces in Costa Rica allowed her to be incredibly productive. The soundtrack of the land's wildlife and views of its plush greenery were a far cry from the urban landscape outside her office in downtown LA. "In my office, I'm looking out the window at industrial buildings, graffiti, dirt, and trash everywhere," she says. In Puerto Viejo, "I was able to work with greater peace of mind." For White, finding a deeper level of healing also required that she put distance between herself and the U.S., where the energy for Black folks is often so heavy, murky, and dark, she says. "When you remove yourself from all that and you go somewhere where there is light, natural beauty, and tranquility, you can't help but see there is a better quality of life." White isn't the only Black American woman who has traveled to Costa Rica for serenity. Real estate developer Simone White, no relation, planned to visit for 3 weeks in 2020 and never left. She now calls Costa Rica home. "It's a culturally rich, diverse community, and everybody is committed to being happy," says Simone, who renovated a luxury property in Punta Uva to host others looking for a respite. "It's a grounding place where you can feel God all the time, regardless of your beliefs." In 2014, Davia Shannon moved to Costa Rica from LA after being constantly passed over for promotions while working in finance. After moving to Puerto Viejo, Shannon says she felt safe, protected, loved, cherished, and appreciated. "I'd never felt that before." The owner of Lifeaholic Costa Rica, a company dedicated to helping Black expats relocate to Costa Rica, Shannon says that because of her move, she can provide her kids with generational wealth. "In Costa Rica, I was able to accumulate 4 properties in just 7 years," she says. Now a picture of vitality, Aisha White returns to Costa Rica at least 4 times a year. She is developing a luxury rental property and recording studio there. "I did go back to all of those specialists to do tests again," she says. "Of follow-ups with doctors to check on her condition. They said, "I'm in amazing health. I've been living my best life." Her healing journey has given her a whole new lease on life, she adds. "I'm much more hopeful," she says. "I eat better. I've taken up surfing. Before this point in my life, I had been thinking, this is the start of the decline. But you can do whatever you want, no matter your age. I'm still peaking. I'm still on my way up. That feels amazing." The next article is titled, Choosing Freedom. Amani Bashir reflects on the duality of being a Black Muslim woman exploring life abroad. Blackxit, the term used to describe the exodus of Black people from America to destinations across the globe, is nothing new. However, with racial tensions on the rise in the States, more Black people, in particular Black women, are seeking their peace abroad. Due to the relative safety and lower cost of living, plus career and romantic options, Black women are moving everywhere from Guatemala to Ghana. This is the choice Imani Bashir made, and she is thriving. With a one-way ticket in hand, she set off on a journey to find her freedom. Here she shares lessons learned, the countries she thinks are safest for Black women, and why she stands with fellow hijab-wearing women in Iran on their right to choose freedom as well. Essence asks the question, you've spent the last 7 years living abroad in several countries, most recently in Mexico. What has the experience been like for you, and what have you discovered along the way? Amani Bashir replied, having to learn new languages, customs, and just how other people live can be very trying on your spirit. However, it's like the saying about New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. I have applied that to being an expat. Somewhere like China, where it's not easy to translate Mandarin into an app or navigate the culture as a Black person, will truly show you what you're made of. The most important lesson I've learned is that many cultures have 6 degrees of separation, and we are really more alike than we are unalike. The next question asked by Essence was, is living overseas easier as a Black American woman? What are the challenges? Bashir replied, I wouldn't necessarily say that living abroad has been easier, but what I will say is it does come with privilege. I'm a Black Muslim woman who wears a hijab, and people don't see me as American at all until I open my mouth to speak. I find that this accent means something of importance to them, and is placed on a pedestal in some ways. The biggest challenge is remembering to breathe easy. I feel like in the U.S., you can never breathe easy, and you always have to keep your head on a swivel, but abroad you can find a good balance. Essence asks the question, safety concerns are usually the main hesitation for Black women looking to follow in your footsteps. Do you feel safe living and traveling out of the country? Bashir responded, one thing I am happy about in my Americanness is that I am constantly aware of my surroundings and people. Women are targets around the globe, so I don't ever forget that, no matter how comfortable I am in a place. I believe it's important that you build community, learn what neighborhoods are a no-go, and learn to speak a bit of the language so that people aren't planning to rob you in your face. I think safety is relative to the individual, but for me, even in hijab, I do feel a level of safety because I keep myself aware. Essence asks the question, what countries specifically have you felt safe visiting or living in? Bashir responded, Cancun in Mexico has been safe to live and travel through. I felt extremely welcomed and safe in Poland and also in China. But Southeast Asia has to be my all-time favorite place on the planet. Malaysia and Thailand have some of the kindest people I have ever come across. Essence asks the question, how do you feel you are perceived as a Black Muslim woman, especially when visiting Arab countries? Bashir responded, Arab countries really don't recognize Black people in Islam, although we have existed since the beginning of time. They act as though we can't be Black, American, and Muslim. So they're always questioning our existence. Although the Arab world acts like gatekeepers of the faith, they don't own it. It's as much mine as anyone else's. Essence asks the question, you have said on social media that for you, wearing the hijab is a choice. What led to that choice? Bashir responded, when I was figuring out my career path, I understood that as a woman in sports journalism at the time, I'd be at a deficit and I'd always be challenged in my field. But I wanted to make sure that I could make my mark in media. And I realized that it was imperative for my Islam to be visible. I wanted people to recognize that this is organically a part of me and to be the example that my many young Muslims desperately need. Essence asks the question, currently in Iran, following the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, we are seeing women of all ages, especially young women, protesting and calling for the right to choose whether or not they wear a hijab. What are your thoughts on this movement? Bashir responded, Islam holds women in a very high regard. Throughout text, women of the book are spoken of with reverence. But unfortunately, people conflate culture and Islam, and they are not synonymous. Everything in Islam says we have a choice because as humans, we were given free will to do or not to do. Allah just says there are consequences for certain choices, but those consequences are not left to man, and they certainly don't require beating a woman because you think her headscarf isn't being worn properly. My way of supporting the women is to continue to show up in spaces that people expect us to be restricted from. People have these false expectations that as Muslim women, we are supposed to be docile and uneducated and walk 10 paces behind a man. I certainly am not that woman. So being a Black woman in hijab who's outspoken, who travels the world, lives her life, and is unapologetic is a movement unto itself. Essence asks the question, what would you say to Black women who are looking to find change and freedom in a foreign land? Bashir responded, I would say, do your research, find a community you can trust, and remember that your problems don't magically disappear because you have created a new life abroad. I would also say to them, that they absolutely deserve a soft life and all that it entails, including peace of mind, body, and spirit. The next article is titled ABC Ventures salutes the late Shirley Chisholm for over 30 years of service as the national spokesperson of America's Black Colleges. In addition to education, health, wellness, and the environment are major concerns because of the many health disparities in Black America. Black America suffers from high disparities in the affliction and treatment of hypertension, diabetes, asthma, and stroke. The higher rates have been attributed to a lack of medical education and access to care. As a tribute to Mrs. Shirley Chisholm, Park Walk America has been launched as an information portal that provides key health, fitness, nutritional, and background information from leading publications, websites, and industry leaders such as Healthline, Everyday Health, and WebMD. This important and valuable portal will be continually fed with the latest available news, events impacting health, fitness, wellness, and environmental stewardship. Park Walk America is being built as a national network of forward-thinking American cities seeking solutions to the many health disparities facing America. Baltimore, Maryland has been chosen as the pilot city in a national network of Park Walk cities. Due to unsteadiness in the economy, Park Walk Baltimore will launch on Earth Day 2023. The success of Park Walk Baltimore will be driven by the vested interests of the public, private, and nonprofit sectors, using the American Express marketing model of reaching people where they live, work, lay, and pray. The objective is to have companies and organizations partner with us to ensure every business and community promote the Park Walk approach to their employees, their customers, their neighbors, and their friends. The public sector will benefit by providing action items that can improve the quality of life for its residents and better utilize their facilities and resources. Businesses can better serve their employees and communities by enhancing their social responsibility and developing a new channel of distribution. The nonprofit community can have marketing tools available to support the missions they serve, particularly community development. The Park Walk America Network platforms are similar to the American Express Card Merchant membership.
Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.